not a New Year resolution type, but I do understand there's something symbolic when the calendar turns or when a birthday comes and things like that. And so we're going to take that momentum that's just natural in us each year to think about new things and think about restarting. And we're going to walk through the restarting of our faith. Let's get back to the basics and ask ourselves, how did I do in the last year growing in my faith? Did I give any effort at all? Did I give any time? And if I did I put as much as I'd like aside? Did I give Jesus as much of myself as I know He's worthy of? And so as we do that and we think about where we are, we're talking about this new me that can come on the other side. I genuinely believe when I lock eyes with any human being that they're full of the potential of God. The Scripture says that all of us are made in the image of God. We're all image bearers of Jesus. Everybody that you look at in your day-to-day operations, everyone has the potential of being a son, a daughter of Jesus, and living and flowing as though Jesus were living and flowing through him or her. And so in order to believe that and to live that, we don't just believe that for ourselves. We got to believe that for our worst enemy. And that's the tough tension of Christianity, but it's true that we wake up every day and say, you know what? I believe that today could be better. I believe you could have a new you. And for us today, we have to believe that about ourselves. How many of you are your own worst critic? How many of you are your own worst critic? You'd say, I'm probably the worst critic of God. I am too. And some of you pointed to your spouse. That's not nice. No, but I'm my own worst critic. You know, I see the wrong in me. I see all that needs to be fixed. And then all that happens in real life is I'm reminded from time to time when someone else sees that in me and points that out. And so what we're celebrating this year is, you know what, happy new me. I have a new chance to live like Jesus. I have a new chance to be the man or woman that God designed me to be. And so what are the steps I need to take? What are the things I can do and implement as the year begins to set myself up for a great year ahead? Here's what I want to do today. In future series, we're going to walk through growing in Christ and what does that look like and how does Captivate do it. But tonight, I want to start off with just some basics on if you're just evaluating what your life is like as you're headed in and trying to make some good changes. I hope to give you a few leadership principles out of the book of Nehemiah to be able to set you off on your journey and to be able to help you believe again that, you know what, there is a new opportunity ahead. So if that's all right with you, I want to dive in. We pick up in this book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah opens in the Persian city of Susa in the year 440 BC. Later that year, Nehemiah traveled over to Israel, and he would lead the third of three returns back to the Jewish from the Jewish exile in Babylon. You see, the Jews, they always had this problem where they would disobey God, they'd run from God, and God would essentially let the enemies around them beat them up and put them in captivity. And so what you're seeing when you're reading Nehemiah is you're reading about this third layer when they come back and take Jerusalem. But we're in the meantime, we're in the beginning before it actually takes place. And where it all begins is God just reached down to one man and says, hey, I want something different to happen. He breaks one man's heart over an issue. I believe in your life. Christy and I were talking about how in my life, it's I get credit just by my positioning, but my family tree is changing in one generation. And it's humbling to think about. But your family tree may be the same. You may be seeing a lot of things change in just your family tree, your one generation. Ed and I were talking the other day about our lives because he's helping me paint. And Lord knows Christy would not like our house if I was the only one to paint it. So Ed's in there to the rescue. I think they worked out a deal, but they won't tell me about it. But anyhow, so Ed and I are talking, and we're just talking about the magnitude of being able to be that one generation that's able to change things in your family and the weight that comes with that, but also the joy. But here's the thing. Your family may not be sketchy in the generation above you. But here's the thing. All of us can look at our lives and say, I can start right now. I can start right now and make my life, make my future children, make my future family look exactly the way that God designed it. I could start that now. And you say, you know, I'm beat up and I've given up and no, I can't. Yes, you can. Every single person in this room could have a happy new me if you would sit down and say, you know what? The Lord can do the work. I can't do it. On your own, you can't do it. On my own, I can't do it. But if I would surrender myself to Jesus and what He sets out as His design, then absolutely it can happen. The Zornaks are doing it in their family. With Alea, she's going to be raised in a family that loves her and surrounded by love and joy. And she's going to have a mom and dad that care. And you know what? That's one generation. Everything changes. I believe that it's not even a generational thing. In your life, right where you are, I believe that your next 20 years could be far better than the previous 20 if you'll let Jesus have control and design and His commands over those 20 years. I believe we can zoom in. I believe you can have the best 5 years of your life in front of you if you'll let Jesus take control of those years. For a lot of us, we're scared to understand what does it mean to let Jesus control that time. And that's tonight what I want to kick you in the rear about and give you something to ponder as you go home and just say, what would it look like for me if 2017, I didn't make any big things like, hey, I'm going to go on a diet just because I want to feel better or look good, or I'm going to go do this. No, but what if I just said, Jesus, I'm going to give you January. Jesus, I'm going to give you January. I can't make crazy promises that I'm going to do 12, but what would it look like if I gave Jesus January? How would it be different? So let me just implant that thought on your mind tonight. Here we are, January 1. What would it look like if I could give Jesus January? What would be different? And what would be the pain? You give Jesus the month and you work really hard and you tell two or three people around you, I'm giving Jesus January. And you say, talk to me every day about it. I was meeting with a mentor this week and we were having dinner and he said, Tali, he said, what do you need next for you? What's the next thing that you think God's been telling you? And I looked at him and I confided in my mentor. I said, I believe that I've been running from this thing. And he said, I'm going to call you and text you on that thing. And he said, I don't want you to think about that for the whole year. He said, but I want you to run real hard for 3 months. And we're going to run together for 3 months. I'm going to call you. I'm going to text you. I'm going to get on you about that thing for 3 months. It's scary, but it's also cool to know that there's somebody else that'll help me run the race Jesus lined up for me for the next couple of months. Tonight I want to challenge you with that. Let's go to Nehemiah. I want to give you three principles if you're trying to look for that in your life. What's going on in this year that's going to make it different? Otherwise, guys, it becomes ho-hum and you just do the year again and you just get to this point next year and then you become cynical and critical and you say nothing will ever change. It's just a calendar date. Nothing matters. And then you become a person that just you kind of just hate your situation and you believe that it's other people's fault. But if you become the person that would say, you know what, I can make change, I can affect change, and I can let Jesus affect change in me, what does it look like if Jesus had January? Grab your Bibles and go to Nehemiah chapter 1. This is what it looks like when God gets a hold of a human heart. Nehemiah 1:1-3 says, in the words of Nehemiah, now it happened in the month of Chislev in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, and Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. Hey man, give me an update. Verse 3, they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. So here we are with this Nehemiah book. I want you to understand, when you enter in, it's been 153 years that the captives have been gone. It's been 153 years that the walls have been destroyed. These walls have not been able to be rebuilt for generations. And Nehemiah is just checking in on family, extended family. He's like, hey, what's going on over there? I don't make it out there much. He has a secular job. He's working for the king. He's a cupbearer. And so he's like, I don't really know what's going on with my distant relatives. What's up in that area? Now, this has been happening a long time. Here's what I want to tell you. Before we even get into the points on this, I want to tell you, whatever it is that you want to battle, whatever it is that you want different, there's a good chance that it's been going on for a long time. So you say, well, I want to eat healthier. Guess what? You've probably been eating unhealthy for a long time. And I'm the first in that line. You say, well, I want to be able to kick an addiction. Guess what? It probably took you a long time in that addiction. You're not going to just wake up and say, hey, it's all finished. You might say, I want to be a better husband or wife. Guess what? You were raised by a particular family, and maybe that particular family wasn't the best model for you. And so you might have years built up in a model that doesn't fit because it's been a long time since you've ever seen it work right. And so some of us, we give up on our dreams. We give up on the next step because it's been a long time. It's been a long time since I saw anybody really live that, right? It's been a long time since I had any earthly examples. It's been a long time since I was able to maintain my Bible study for more than a month. It's been a long time since I was able to run 5 miles. It's been a long time. And so many of us, just because it's been a while, we throw our hands in the air. But before we even get started, before you even say, what does it look like differently for me? How, if I gave Jesus January, what does this next 30 days look like for me? If I wanted to start this journey, first of all, I've got to understand, it's probably been a long time. So don't let that be your excuse. I want to give you 3 E's tonight, pretty easy. First one is this, evaluate. Evaluate. Evaluate, elevate, and execute are the 3 E's. You can scribble it down, that's your outline tonight. Evaluate, elevate, and execute. For evaluate, let the past be your prompting. Let the past be your prompting. Here's what I mean. If you're going to evaluate what's going on, you have to go back and look at your past. You're going to have to revisit 2016. You might have to revisit 2015. Depending on what the issue is, you might have to go back to the point of where it started. Some of you, some of me, all of us, some of us may need to visit with a counselor and seriously just say, I don't know why I do this, but I do. And I'm not joking about the counselor thing. I'm dead serious. Some of us might need to sit with somebody and say, this is not Jesus. This is not healthy. This is not God's best design for me. And I know I have an issue. This past year, I have people close in my life that have had to go do that. Sit down and say, I don't know how to fix it, but I know it's wrong, and I want this to change about me. I don't want to live the next 15 years knowing that this is wrong in my life. And so I know in a room like this with this many people, I'm sure we've got addiction issues. I'm sure we've got pornography problems. I'm sure we've got alcohol or drugs. I'm sure we've got promiscuity. I'm sure we've got watching stuff on the net. I'm sure we've got all kinds of stuff. But listen, you have a choice right now. You have a choice to say, I'm going to stay like this for the next 364 days and slide into next year and make fun of Mariah Carey for not getting something right. But I'm living my life knowing I'm not getting that right. And it's eating away at me. And so you and I, we have a choice, church. We have a choice to say, hey, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to evaluate. I'm going to look at my past and say, what in my past do I not want to take into my future? What needs to stay a part of my past? What needs to be the previous chapter of my life? We've got stuff. All of us do. There is not a perfect person in this room. My wife will tell you, I am not perfect, nor do I ever think I'm perfect. She hears from me as a part of being married. That's part of what you do. But you guys mainly see me confident and on stage and go, go, go. But my wife gets to see the part of me that just says, I'm not sure about myself. I think I should be further. I think I should have achieved this by now. I think I should. I think I didn't do that last year. Listen, all of us have something that needs to change, but we have to start by evaluating, by letting the past be our prompting. You see, some of us just rush out and we just say, well, I'm gonna fix this, do that. No, go back and evaluate. Go back and look at 2016. How did it go? Where did you spend your time? Where did you spend your money? When we're about to do tax time, that's a great opportunity to sit back and say, did I handle God's finances that He blessed me with in a way that honors Jesus? When we look back, I'm coming up on my physical next month. Easy. I'm going to figure out how I did last year. My doctor's going to look at me and give me a look, you know? I'm going to figure out how I did. I'm going to see the numbers on the report. I get to see data that says, how did I do? Each one of us, as you go into 2016, evaluate. Do the hard work of looking at yourself and saying, what needs to change in order for me to honor Jesus? What was done last year? What was done the last 5 years? What was a God thing? What was not a God thing? If I was going to become like Jesus, what would He change if He stepped into my skin tomorrow? Let's jump down to Nehemiah 1, verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, he says, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant, his steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. He didn't just say, hey, I'm going to pray for those people. He said, I am they. If you want to go into 2017 and you want to be the person that God designed you to be, start off by when you do your evaluation, then turn and say, Jesus, I am they. I didn't hit the mark. And I need your forgiveness in this area. I'm going to ask for your help, but before I do, I need to admit that I have a problem. I need to admit that I'm not capable of fixing it by myself. And pride is the only reason we wouldn't do that. So go ahead and say, you know what? I need help. I am a sinner too. It says this, we have acted very corruptly against you, and we have not kept the commandments, the statutes, the rules that you commanded your servant. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the people. But if you return to me and keep my commands and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them. I will bring them to the place I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people whom you've already redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight and fear in your name. And give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. You see, first we evaluate, but then we elevate. Once you look at your life, once you look at the area that needs to be changed, you elevate. The power comes through prayer. You realize power comes through prayer. I got to take this situation that's on my level, and I've got to get it off my level. I've got to elevate the situation to the throne of God. I've got to go in my life and say, Lord, this needs to be different. And I need to elevate it to a level that it can be fixed. Some of us are trying to handle the supernatural in the natural. Some of us are trying to fix problems that are really spiritual problems at the core of them. Yes, we have a natural tendency to show the issue, but really it's a spiritual thing. Pride is a spiritual thing. Gluttony, it's a spiritual thing. Deceit, spiritual. Gossiping, spiritual. Pornography, spiritual. Even addictions, many of them come from a spiritual source. Many of us are trying to mask and hide and cover up, and some of us are cutting privately. You're doing this stuff because spiritually your soul's not right. And so you're running to find things to numb the pain, to dull it, to distract. But really, it's a spiritual issue on the inside. So in 2017, you can either try to handle spiritual issues in the natural, or you can go ahead and say, this is a supernatural thing in my life, and I need the power of God to be able to tackle it. And so Nehemiah, what he did, he didn't bow up and say, hey man, I'm going to take this. I'm going to go take those fools. I'm going to run in and we're going to fight. No, he said, man, this is bad. I need heaven. The best thing you could do for your situation right now at the beginning of 2017 in January is just to say, God, when's the last time I've told you I need you? That's why I asked the band to play that again, because it's perfect. Like we have got to go to him and say we need him. Our biggest issue is pride. I can work longer hours. I can pick up more jobs. I can eliminate this. I can cut that. I can walk away from that person. But at the end of the day, are we looking at that issue in our life and saying, you know what, God? I need you. I need you. I don't need you just to fix stuff. I need you. Because I am a child of a king. I'm a child of heaven, a product of heaven, and I need heaven on my side. You see, Nehemiah asked for big things from God, and that led to big requests from an earthly king. I heard a long time ago, no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. If you can commit to doing one thing different in 2017, my sincere desire would be that you say, I'm going to get on my knees more. I'm going to document my prayer life in some way. I'm going to find a way to quantify it. I'm going to find a way to make sure I know whether or not I did. You see, what we do is we judge other people by their outcomes and results, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. Right? I intended to be good. I intended to pray. I intended to be generous. I meant to. And so we judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge others by the outcome. We judge others by, well, how much time? How much effort? What did you do? And the reality is, if we want this to change in us, we need to go to God and say, God, I spent 5 minutes in prayer yesterday. Or God, I'm marking out extra time. I'm going to change my sleeping patterns. I'm going to go ahead and DVR that show so I can go ahead and hit the bed a little bit sooner and get up and meet with you in the morning. Because guess what? He's going to sleep with her on the show and it's going to be a mess and they're going to fight. And it happens every season and they keep getting me to come back. Or that person that wasn't supposed to die is going to die and they're going to get hit by a blade on the baseball bat. Stuff's going to happen, right? It's going to be crazy. But here's the thing. Did I grow any? Did I become a better citizen of heaven because I stayed up that extra hour? Or maybe I just say, I'm going to retool my living so that I can get up and I can be a better citizen of heaven. What's going to be different about me this year? What's going to be different? Am I going to elevate my situation? If you're jotting notes, you might want to write this down for yourself. Expect big things from God and attempt big things for God. Expect big things from God. Become a person that it's not shy to go to God and say, God, I expect that our business is going to grow by 10% this year. I expect that. Why? Because I'm going to dedicate my time and energy. God, because I'm going to be faithful with my giving. I'm going to be a generous human being. I'm going to help others out when they need it. God, I expect you, God. And in the meantime, I'm going to attempt great things on your behalf. You live with that expectation. God, I expect you to move, and God, I expect you to bless. There's nothing wrong with that. That's actually exactly how He's told us to live. You don't look at your situation and say, well, it's always been that way, so it's going to stay that way. No, you look at your situation and say, I'm going to evaluate it, and then I'm going to elevate it. And when I elevate my situation, God, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to expect you to help it change. I'm going to expect big things from God. I'm going to attempt big things for God. That's not an arrogant, boastful way to live. That is a person that believes that they are God's son or they are God's daughter. But many of us, we don't even attempt anything anymore. When you were a kid, you used to look at the dumbest things and attempt it. Like you would do the handlebars when they were 50 feet below you. Right? Like you would just go out and you'd be like, I can do that. No, you can't. Yeah, I can. Watch. Woo! And you would do that. But somewhere along the way, you cracked your head a few times. You sprained your ankle. Stuff happened. And you just quit attempting things. You just gave up. You got to go back and just say, man, what if I stopped doing that? I actually got joy out of it. That was glorifying to Jesus. Third one, evaluate, elevate. Third, Nehemiah chapter 2, jump down to verse 17. He said this, he went over and he talked to the people and he pulled it all together and he said this. He said, all right, then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in? How Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Now here's the deal. He went back. He evaluated what was the situation was. He elevated and took it to God. And then he went back and he evaluated again. And now he's enlisting help. Cause now he's saying, I'm seeing it up close. I see the details. I had a big idea, but now I'm ready to get dirty. And he says, I said to them, you see the trouble we're in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been on me for good and also for the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Let us rise up and build. Evaluate, elevate, execute. Execute. The flesh dies. When you execute, the flesh dies so the spirit can rise. The flesh dies so the spirit can rise. What do I mean by the flesh dying? The Bible describes everything either in the two categories, the flesh or the spirit. It's of the flesh or the spirit. You yourselves are both spirit and flesh. As long as you're living, you have flesh on your bones. You are a fleshly person as well as a spirit. But what God describes is things that are of God are things that are of the spirit. And things that are not of God are things of the flesh. And now here's the thing. If you've evaluated in your life that you've got an area of life that needs to look more like Jesus, then guess what? That needs to look more like the spirit, which means for you to get there, you've got to get rid of the flesh in that. You've got to get rid of the flesh. If you're going to be more generous, you've got to get rid of the flesh of greed. If you're going to be more healthy, you've got to look at your body as a spiritual temple. You have to. You have to get rid of the flesh of the craving. You have to be able to say, the craving's not worth it. I'm going to go ahead and get healthier. Whatever it is that's going on. If you have laziness in your life, you say, you know what? The flesh in that is I'm trying to feed my flesh laziness and complacency. And so for me to get somewhere that's different, I can't feed the flesh that anymore. I've got to look at it as a spiritual issue. Laziness is a spiritual problem. And so I'm going to get up out of bed and I'm going to go get it done. I talked to somebody a couple of years ago that was out of work, and when I was talking to them, they were telling me, you know, all the problems. And I said, man, I totally get it, but here's what's got to happen. You've got to get up in the morning and you've got to put your boots on. I said, you got children that are watching you. And even though you don't have a job, you get up and you put your boots on and you get out there and you go knock on 75, 100 doors and find anybody that's willing to do something. And you know what? You don't come home until 5 or 6 o'clock. Why? Because if you had a job, that's the time you would hope to be coming home. And so I said, your kids need to see that. You need to do that because you don't want to get yourself out of the rhythms of getting up and going and putting in the time, because laziness is a spiritual issue and God can't honor our laziness, but God can honor our best effort. God can honor our best effort when we're putting in prayer. God can honor us saying, God, I'm trying. And so for us in this year, 2017, if you want to be a different man or a woman of God, you've got to evaluate where you've been. You've got to elevate those things to God and say, God, this is going to be heaven's problem too. And then you have to execute. You have to find in the areas of life where your flesh has to die. So Nehemiah went and he looked at him and he said, you know what? It's enough talk. We've talked about it. We've prayed it through. But guys, it's time to get to work. And what's terrible and beautiful at the same time, you should go read the rest of this chapter. It's absolutely amazing. What's terrible and beautiful is that there were some places where the Bible says there were young teenage women that were goldsmiths, and they were working, putting up lumber and brick. And then there were men who were supposed to be, but they considered themselves elders. They were too good for the work. And so they refused to do the job. I think there's a spiritual principle there when God puts that in the Bible. That we've got teenage girls that normally work with jewelry that are out here protecting their home and doing what's right. And then we have nobles and elders who said, no, they're not going to get their hands dirty. I think that's a spiritual principle. It comes time when it's time to come down to it that we execute. We go to God and say, God, I'm broken over this. I'm bringing it to heaven. It's time for me to get things done. You see, I had a proud moment. I want to leave you with this week. I had a proud dad moment that I caught by chance. We were in the middle of moving and painting and stuff, and we were over at the house, and my daughter comes in and she says, Dad, Caleb was just helping a guy at his car. And I said, what? And she said, he was helping somebody. I said, okay. So he came in later. I said, Caleb, what happened? He said, nothing, Dad. Like, he was kind of annoyed that I even knew. And I said, what happened, buddy? And he said, there was just this older man that was struggling at his car, getting some stuff out. And I asked him, would it be okay if I helped him carry it to his porch? And I said, son, I got all excited, right? I'm like, wow. You know, because as a parent, in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, right? Like, I'm a good dad. But as I drew attention to this, you know what he told me? He said, Dad, I learned what you do in the darkness is revealed in the light. I'm going to write that down. But it reminded me that's exactly the truth of all of us. In 2017, who we are in the darkness is going to be who we are next Christmas. Who we are when nobody's looking, who we are when we make our mistakes or make our excuses, or who we are when we're making a difference, or who we are when we're going to God in prayer, or who we are when we're trying our best and making real, legitimate change. Who we are when a mentor says, what's going to be different? And you go ahead and tell them the truth. This needs to be different about me. Who you are in the darkness. That's who you're going to be next Christmas. So each of us, I want to ask us to spend some time in prayer tonight. And here's what I want to ask you. Who are you in the dark that needs to change? Who are you in the dark that needs to change? Maybe for you, it's salvation. Maybe you say, you know what needs to change about me is I don't know God. And for you, here's the beautiful thing. It's so, so easy. Jesus did all of the work. To become a Christian, to follow Jesus, He did all of the work. What it literally means is to just surrender your life and to pick up His. That's what it means to become a Christ follower. That's what it means to know for sure, for certain, forever that you have a relationship with God in heaven. It's for you to surrender your brokenness and say, Jesus, can I pick up your perfection? Can I live in your name from now on? There's not a 58-step class. You don't have to sign up for anything. It's not Amway. You just give your life to Jesus. But for the rest of us that have been in church a little bit, I want to challenge you on the first day of the year. Who are we in the dark? And are we cool with that not changing, or are we ready to see some change? I want to see change. I've lived my life for 20 years serving Jesus and His church, but there's still so much that I know needs to change. And so if I know that's true for me, then I know that's true for you too. And what we got to do is instead of trying to pomp and circumstance and pretend, how about we just start to get real with Jesus? How about we just say, Jesus, I'm not there yet. I'm going to give you January. But you got to evaluate what it is that needs to change. If you're really, really good, you'll tell somebody that spiritually you respect. Not a buddy that'll just get on the phone and just, oh, I messed up today. Oh, I messed up too. Well, let's go have a drink. Like, no, somebody you spiritually respect that'll take on the weight of really holding you accountable, really checking in, really loving on you. Here's the invitation tonight. The invitation is, will you give Jesus January?